We are studying from the Kabbalah for the student, the article, The Essence of Religion and Its Purpose, under the title The Absolute Good on page 52. You can send questions to kab.tv and pertinent questions to the lesson will be aired during the lesson. We're in The Essence of Religion and Its Purpose by Rav Ashlag, and we're starting at the top of page 52, The Absolute Good.
So what did we speak about before? He's asking three questions, right? What is the essence of religion? Was it given for the purpose of the creator or the benefit of the creatures? If we attain that benefit, the reward, in this world or in the next world, and what we can understand from this is that no one has the right answers, meaning no one really understands what religion is. Religion is man's relation to the upper force that governs the whole of nature. And if it's just a force that governs nature, then fine, you know. So that force governs, and I'm in this system, and that's it. But it seems that there is probably such an interrelation that I can do something about, that I can escape bad things and achieve good things. And if I enter that relation with the upper force, then I can change something about my fate. And so this specific connection on behalf of man towards the upper force, and accordingly the upper force towards man, is called religion. Meaning religion is a certain system of relationship between the creator and the creatures. And it's bidirectional. So he says, this relationship is what no one really knows anything about. Everyone's wrong. Some say you need to do this, some say you need to do that, some claim the creator is this, others claim the creator is something else. And everyone perhaps have their own confusion. No one actually knows where the truth is, and where is the reward you get, and what kind of reward. And in our world, I don't see anyone who enjoys life. Everyone suffers in the end. And the next world, who knows what it is and what I'm being sold for. Meaning it's one whole big confusion, and this is what happens to us with religion. Of course, no one is to blame. We really can't blame anyone. This is simply the process called the program of creation that has to be executed within us in this way until we finally ask these three questions. What is the essence of religion? Is its essence attained in this or the next world? And is the benefit of it for the creator or for the created beings? And if we answer these three questions correctly, then we'll know what religion is, that is, how to build a proper relationship with the upper force. And as a result, we might be able to enjoy this world, the next world, for his benefit, for our benefit. I don't know. But I want to figure this out because I'm under a certain higher governance. And so it's worthwhile for me to figure out what is the right relationship. And as a result, I may benefit. In a simple, practical way, we have to make this conclusion. And so when I go out to the broad public and address them, then this is what I say, guys, Let's figure this out. We are inside nature. Nature is the synonymous with the Creator. And that system of nature is threatening us increasingly from day to day, whether it's through the inanimate forces or the animals or the other humans. Now it's a period of earthquakes, and then hurricanes might happen, or tsunamis, or plagues, or who knows. All in all, we see that this nature, which is the Creator, doesn't really relate to us so great. And let's see if we can do better. That's how I turn to the public, that it seems that it is in our hands, in our ability. So it's worthwhile checking it out. That's for sure. And so that takes us to the second part, where he tells us that truly no one knows, and that's why we are confused. And the fact is that our generation is very confused by religion. And if religions would actually be able to provide us with existential questions, existential answers to our existential questions, how to arrange ourselves better in this world, in the next world, and what do we attain, and so on, then people would indeed hold on to religion. But we see that people escape religion, and even if you may not see it externally in a formal fashion, but internally there's a decline from that, which is something that everyone agrees about. And he says, why is it happening? It's happening because we didn't receive the right answers, in short, to what is religion. So, I'm not making you religious. I'm not telling you what you need to do. I'm saying that it's worthwhile finding out your relationship with nature or the Creator, because that will certainly bring a benefit. Okay? Everyone agrees? Can we continue? Okay, only you don't. Okay, so let's start from Moshe. Yeah.
It's hard to agree, and it's worthwhile to check, and it's worthy to check. Because if I'm going to go check, it's always going to be with the human intellect.
This is what I've got, right? But with this human mind, you discover that what you knew about religion didn't satisfy you. I remember myself, in 1975, in Rehovot, I remember myself looking for an answer in religion, becoming religious, seeking answers about our existence, and I wasn't given any answers. I was told, if you study the Gemara, you'll know the Nezikin. What's the Nezikin? The judgments. Look at the answers I've got, I was receiving. If you go into a car accident with someone, you'll know how to deal with him. Okay, so what? So I have the court of law. How will the Gemara help me with this? And also, that's the reason I need religion for. So that was the level of answers that I got. And then I went to all kinds of wise people, not just those who knew how to teach Gemara. And still, I didn't get any answers. They would say, you have to pray, you have to ask, you have to be a good Jew. Why? What for? What's happening? How does it work? And you know, there are all these sayings about this world, the next world, this world is just a passageway, and I'm not disrespecting that. There are a lot of people who still need all of that to ripen. Religion is supposed to continue until a person sees that he's shifting to the essence of religion. This is how it was designed to begin with by the great ones who understood all of this. But in our days, it becomes very, very loose. And it's because for two generations, he says, these questions are being asked from within people. And because they don't get an answer, they also move away from the regular religious framework that they have from birth.
That's understood, that we only have a human mind and we don't have something else. But we also see that the human mind has mistaken us for thousands of years.
No. We had to advance that way. We had to continue all these years, 2,000 years of exile. We had to continue like that, and as the ego grew, as humanity evolved, and then we reached a crisis which signifies the end of the egoistic development. We had to develop this way. And as it says, Israel went out to exile to connect with the souls of the nations. We had to mix with everyone as if to blend our sparks with all the parts of the world. This is the people from Babylon who scattered across the globe. That group of Israel, the group of Abraham, had to give the world all that it contained within it. And that's why we had the shattering of the vessels, the ruin of the first temple and the ruin of the second temple, and the scattering, the dispersion of these sparks all over and across the world to receive. And how else is it possible to correct it? It's not even a shell, it's just raw matter. So you have to push into it these sparks. And we see how the entire world has advanced by the injection of these sparks. All religions only emerge as a result of the wisdom of Kabbalah. This is how the will to receive can absorb it when it's in exile. Now the exile is ending, so it can no longer perceive it in this way. It has to take on something new. And in addition to religions, philosophy, as the philosophers themselves say, and then all kinds of technologies, science, and so forth, all of it has been developing eventually because there were sparks integrated in all the nations.
You said previously that you first went to religion and it wasn't sufficient, and now it's already satisfactory. For me today, it's also not satisfactory. So until I see something in a godly manner, I won't believe anything. I mean, it doesn't say anything to me.
True.
So what's the whole story?
Wait, what? You thought that you'll get an answer for everything right in the beginning. An answer means that you attain all of these things, that you fully attain it. And until you do, you will always be with a lack. You have a good soul, meaning with a good lack, so of course you'll need until the final correction, until you discover the purpose of correction, because your lack is for the purpose of creation. In some, it appears bit by bit, and others, almost in advance, feel
the end. So what for to take something and to go and check things that you can't check? Meaning, to start doing the work, what we need to do, A, B, C, and
you have to aim yourself towards the end goal in order to even make a step forward, because every step is in the same direction. And how you envision the end is eventually also only the next degree for you, that next degree, that adjacent degree is En Sof, it's infinity. Okay, let's see.
The absolute good. To avoid tiring the readers with long discussions, I have relied on all that I wrote in previous essays, especially on the essay Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah, which are all like a preface to the exalted topic ahead. Here I shall speak briefly and simply to make it understood for all. First, we must understand the Creator. He is the absolute goodness. This means that it is utterly impossible that He would ever cause any sorrow to any person. And this we take to the first concept. For our common sense clearly shows that the basis for any evil doing in the world stems only from the will to receive. That means that the eagerness to benefit ourselves makes us harm our fellow persons due to our will to receive self-gratification. Thus, if no being would find contentment in favoring itself, no being would ever harm another. And if we sometimes find some being that harms another without any will to receive self-gratification, it does that only because of an old habit that originated in the will to receive, which now rids it of the need to find a new reason. And because we realize that the Creator is in and of Himself complete and needs no one to help Him to completion, since He precedes everything, it is therefore clear that He does not have any will to receive. And because He has no will to receive, He is fundamentally devoid of a desire to harm anyone. It is as simple as that.
So far, is it clear what he writes? Looking at the situation, I don't feel that it's clear. Yes.
Every time he says that the Creator doesn't have a will to receive at all. So if he doesn't have a will to receive at all, like it's claimed here, and we don't really, to the end, we're just guessing that it's like that. So I'm coming and I'm saying to myself one thing: if there's no will to receive, what did he create us for? If he has a desire to create us for us to be like him, it's also a form of will to receive.
Yeah.
It's not, let's say, we can actually see it like that.
Yeah.
Is it?
According to your assumption, yeah.
So what did he create us for? If he doesn't have any will to receive at all, then what did he create us? That's a question I ask myself all the time.
He enjoys it. He enjoys from you.
So is it a desire he has or not?
There is a desire.
So why does he have that he doesn't? That he has no
Where
desire.
Where does he write that he has no will?
That he has no desire at all. He doesn't have a will to receive.
That's a different thing. What, you're trying to fool me or what?
I'm sorry. So what is a will to receive that he has?
There's a matter of a will.
Force.
Just say a force. See, call it a force. You see, that calms down everything. Just look at how much the different term gives. Because when you relate it to a desire, it sounds like, I want, you know, it's my desire. But if it's a force, it's just a force, whatever you do with it, it's a force, meaning it's something that has the potential to be activated, right? But it's not just a plain force, the desire. The desire is a desire to bestow, meaning a force that aims to make an action of bestowal. Ask, keep asking, please.
Well, I also want the desire to bestow.
This I don't know.
No, I want. Why am I sitting here?
No, I don't want to speak on that level.
No, I also want to bestow, but it's not working out for me so much, okay? Meaning, since I was created...
We aren't talking about you right now. We're talking about the Creator. So disturb us talking about Him. So we say this. First, we have to understand the Creator. You see, to understand the Creator, where do you put yourself into it? He is the absolute goodness. Where does it take it from that He is the absolute goodness? I, unfortunately, haven't felt it ever in life. And if I sometimes feel good, it's just less bad. It's just escaping the bad a bit. If you tell me that He is absolute good, and don't get too excited, come on. If you tell me that He is only good and I can use Him somehow, then, you know, so I don't feel it, that's right. But He says we have to understand it, this absolute goodness. Where does it come from? Why can we say that? This means that it is utterly impossible that He would ever cause any sorrow to any person. Meaning the Creator is absolute good that does only good to everyone. It's totally opposite. Right? We agree. You and I agree on this. Right? Yes. Meaning, if there is a higher force and I feel bad, of course He did it. How can I blame all the little animals here? Of course He does it. But what does He say? And this we take to be the first concept, which means that it's hard and fast rule. It's something that there's nothing that precedes it. Where does it take it from that this is the first concept? That the Creator, without any preceding cause, is the absolute goodness. This I can't understand. For our common sense clearly shows that the basis for any evil doing in the world stems only from the will to receive. That means that the eagerness to benefit ourselves makes us harm our fellow persons due to our will to receive self-gratification. Meaning, if I have a will to receive, I implement it, I execute it through hurting others. Meaning, not only I want to receive for myself, I also want to do bad to others. And the best is if I can do both in the same action. And that is usually called theft, when I take from you as well as fulfill myself. Ah, that's great. I earn double. And if not, then I just earn something on my own, and you stay with yours, and then that's it. Well, there's many discernments in that. So if there's a will to receive, that's the entire reason for evil doing in the world. That means that the eagerness to benefit ourselves makes us harm our fellow persons. Meaning that he has to fulfill himself. It has to. There is such an urge. It's like a kid who wants to run and jump and break things up, and that's how it is. That's the form of the will to receive. You can stop him and he'll explode. And that's how the will to receive always wants to fulfill itself by hurting others. In a way that if the creation wouldn't find, if no being would find contentment in favoring itself, no being would ever harm another. So this is the nature of every being in the world, he says. And so everything, therefore, is a result of the will to receive. And if the will to receive is in the Creator's hands, then you have no chance of doing anything about yourself unless it's through the Creator. That's an aside.
On one hand, there's no one else besides him, right? And on the other hand, you see that you have problems. So what, the sufferings don't come from him?
The troubles come from the Creator, yeah. I agree, I'm with you. No argument. Now let's continue. Let's continue. And if we sometimes find some being that harms another without any will to receive self-gratification, where is it? Yeah. It does that only because of an old habit that originated in the will to receive, which now rids it of the need to find a new reason. So, the will to receive is not there anymore after I did actions, but what I acquired through the actions is a new lack. Listen, look, even the mechanics becomes natural because these actions are part of nature as well. Even without an intention, even without a thought, even without the right lack, today, if I don't have it, I have acquired a lack by making these moves themselves. And now I lack doing these moves, and that's why I go and steal. Why? What for? I don't know. I'm used to it. That's the, you know, well, there's an example for it in Russian literature. Someone who already became a millionaire and everything, and still goes on a bus and puts his hand in someone's pocket and he gets caught and put in prison. And an hour before that, he stole millions. Why? He can't avoid doing that because he's a pro thief. What can you do? It's true, it happens that way. Okay, so this is why there are many things that we're unaware of here, where we're unaware of ourselves, how much we act as thieves, being used to do all kinds of actions, although they don't give us any benefit at the moment, at the time being. There are many actions that we do that way. You'll find out, you'll see how each and every one does these so many actions like that throughout the day. And sometimes you see that it's endless. Actions that are totally redundant besides being an old habit.
And because we realize that the Creator is in and of Himself complete, and this really, listen here, good. Because the Creator is complete and needs no one to help Him to completion, He's whole, He's complete, He doesn't have any demand for completion because He is precedes everything. This is also a preceding form. And if so, it is clear that there is no will to receive, that He has no will to receive. And He cannot have the will to receive if He is preceding. Because who can He receive it from? This is how we usually receive. Because who will He receive it from? Meaning He is the first one, the initial. And because He has no will to receive, He is fundamentally devoid of a desire to harm anyone. And it is as simple as that. Meaning the Creator is not the will to receive. He is not a deficiency. He is complete. Now the question comes, is a whole one like this? Can it also be the absolute good? Because here we're already talking about towards an external action of His towards the creation that He created. Furthermore, it is completely agreeable to our mind as the first concept, completely in simplicity again. There's no scrutiny here above the initial agreement because you see this from the first concept, the preceding one. The first one is not right either. It's the preceding one, because the first one is as if there's something before that. But in the first concept, that he possesses a desire to bestow goodness upon others, meaning to his creatures, and this is evidently shown by the great creation that he has created and set before our eyes. Meaning, where do I see this? Here's the question. How do I see that this creation is enjoying from him, that he is the absolute good according to creation? I have never seen such a thing in my life. Yes, I've seen many movies that people are suffering, that all the animals are suffering, and this whole poor universe that's exploding and expanding and who knows without rest. I, in short, do not see this. But he, for now, said that. We will see onwards. For in this world, there are beings that necessarily experience either a good feeling or a bad one, and that feeling necessarily comes to them from the Creator. I don't understand him here. Truly. It's a question. We'll go onwards. What? So far. Questions according to this.
Yes, sir. There's the question about the Creator being whole. If he is whole, then why are the expressions such as to bring him contentment, or the calf wants to,
wonderful,
the cow wants to feed more than the calf wants to sell?
Let him write them down. I'm not saying that.
He continues and asks, if the Creator is primordial and whole, how can he come to that conclusion?
Because the first one cannot be lacking, because who will he receive from? Again, guys, this depends on development. We all are not built from a healthy reason and mind, an objective mind. We are constructed from our primitive, egotistical mind. And therefore, we're not capable of being of pure research or study. And therefore, for the time being, I write down on the side all your questions, and I promise you that by the end of this article, we will solve them somehow. I will try as much as possible to explain. Let's hope so. I remember myself that for years, I could agree with many sentences and sayings. Oh, it's clear, it's known to anyone with a reason. Maybe I didn't have reason, but I didn't agree with him until certain corrections occur in a person, and then according to those corrections, he starts to think differently with an expansion of the mind. And then it works out. It doesn't work out that you agree, you got used to it, or somehow it became yours somehow. No, I'm talking about a true reasoning and logical and correct without any compromise, that simply the new kilim open, and within them you start going through this. Yes, they're the new friend.
In the meantime, the only thing I understood from the article is that what helps us with the fact that the Creator has no will to receive is that He can't harm us. Now, the question is, how does it really help us that the Creator has no will to receive?
I don't know. He's not asking about that. I don't want to run away to the sides here. You can ask like that about anything. Let's continue.
So, we'll read from Kabbalah for the Student, page 52. And there are created beings in our world that feel either good or bad, and what they feel is that it's caused by the Creator. And after it is clear to us that the Creator Himself does no harm, then certainly all created beings receive only goodness from Him, for He has created them only to bestow upon them. Thus we learn that He has only a desire to bestow goodness, and it is utterly impossible that any harmfulness might be in His domain, which could emit from Him. Hence, we have defined Him as the absolute good. And after we have learned that, let's take a look at the actual reality that is guided by Him, and how He bestows only goodness upon them.
Okay. It's laughter from this, huh? It's falsehood. It's truly right in your eyes, and how should we say? It's coarse, and even the government doesn't do. At least it hides itself a little bit in such things. Here, it's truly a person comes, a respectable Kabbalist did so many things in life, and look what he's writing. Yes? He has no choice other than to bring us to a point, a very special point, where you will see the crisis, where you will see the clash, the true clash, how much he's telling you that it's like that, and you see that it's opposite that. He must bring us to such a state. What?
So as we read this part now,
first you said that you read 1,000 times every article.
Not every article.
Sorry, I'm
sorry.
No,
no. Only the article about the outpoured
English.
And I read it not 1,000 times, though. So when we read that part about no damage whatsoever coming from the Creator, and looking at reality, like you said before, it's something you cannot agree with. It's just, in my view, it's just completely false. It's just
an
absolute lie. Some people suffer horrible things. I don't know, in North Korea, the Jews in Germany, people in Africa now. It's just false. It's totally a lie. On the other hand, I see Baal HaSulam as our teacher. Yeah,
like,
you know,
a rational person.
A distinguished person.
What is he thinking, that we're stupid?
Yeah, exactly.
To that point.
It sounds like a joke, seriously.
Well,
and in other places like Peace in the World, other articles, you see that the rationale in his words, and that is sane. And here you don't see it at all. It's just all totally opposite. So how am I supposed to relate to my disregard for something that such a great Kabbalist says? Because in my view, it's just insane. You can't say these things. How to relate to it?
Just as you relate to it. What does it mean? After you relate to it, then you ask, how am I relating to it?
No, that's an action, that's a response. It doesn't mean that this is how it should
be. Then what? Wait. I'm asking you, what can change your impression from creation that he created and did and brought to such a form?
The light.
What light?
The light that reforms. It can change my impression.
What could it bring you? If you receive a fulfillment, everything's good, what do I care about? Everyone, let the world burn. Is that considered to change your impression from the world?
No, let's say even if I feel satisfaction and everything's great, but I see that around me, everything is...
What do you care? Meaning, I see that the world's suffering, right? It's suffering. That the world is dying, right? It's dying. The world's like this and like that. Yes, right. So what?
No, I'm asking differently.
I don't care. You understand? I don't care. What's the connection between the world suffering or not suffering and my state?
I didn't understand.
The whole world is suffering. We agree
right,
with that.
100%. Yeah.
We agree. We see everyone's crying out. Everyone's problems and all that. All over the world. I can say about the world that he's good and benevolent?
No.
Why?
Because he makes them suffer.
What do I care? This depends on the measure of my feeling of the world. It could be that my feeling in the world, let's say I would hate them. Let's say they were my haters. And now they're suffering. Thank God, he's good, that does good. Is it not
right.
true?
Right.
It's true, meaning I do not decide his good in that does good, in how much they suffer or don't suffer, but in how I see his attitude towards them. He's giving them blows and they deserve it. Wonderful, give them a little bit more.
Right.
And according to that, I will define good and benevolent, meaning good is and benevolent is not absolute, but it all has to go through my senses. Yes, now the question is, a regular person, so he, why does he suffer from others' suffering?
Because he's afraid that the suffering can reach him.
Wonderful.
As well.
You can see that a biologist is talking, and a smart guy. Yes, that's true. Meaning he's worried about himself. Yes, if he didn't have the will to receive, then he wouldn't also participate in the sorrow of others. Because he wouldn't be worried about himself or it happening to him too.
Right, I see it with myself as well.
Meaning the will to receive helps us be sorry for the sorrow of others. Are you hearing what we're saying here? That it's like the opposite of the will to receive. What do I care about others? But if I can suffer like them, then already I am in the sensation of sorrow in them. That's it. That's one thing. Wonderful. Now, it's clear, on the other hand, that if I get rid of the attitude towards them, let's say I come to the degree of the Creator, that I'm above humanity. Let them suffer. Right or not?
I don't understand that detour.
It's not a spin. I'm telling you, if you have an opportunity to ascend, I'm your son, you'll raise me up. What's going on here? We'll be up there together. Do I care about the world? If I am rid of my will to receive from the sensation of the sorrow that could occur in me.
So I'm not afraid that the suffering will reach me as long as I aim directly for the Creator.
Then I don't care about the world.
Right.
If I sign a covenant with the Creator, yes? I will do everything that you say, Torah and precepts, whatever you say, commandments, and we are with you in connection. Do I care about the world?
I just don't give a damn about any of them.
I'm slowly bringing you into all the right discernments. Is it correct or not? And it's egotistical. We need to all see these things. Wonderful. Meaning, as much as I have in the will to receive more strength, more force, more connection with the Creator, I am more distant from the world and I don't feel what's going on with them. they could suffer and I wouldn't feel it. What to do on the opposite so I will feel how much they're suffering? Meaning I need to feel myself distant from the Creator or even disconnected from Him, yes? And disconnected and dependent, just as they are in all the winds that can come and do anything with me. Therefore, we're entering the crisis. To feel that we are dependent on some unknown force. And not just us, but the most religious people that were dependent more and more on Him. And therefore, there's the deterioration of the generations. Otherwise, you do not suffer with everyone. Otherwise, you do not pend yourself on them also. If you are in an egotistical form, as if in a connection with the Creator, which is called religions, different types of religions, not through love thy friend as thyself, but in a personal manner, not through the manner of through the love of friends to the love through the love of the creatures to the love of the Creator. Yeah, you're just in connection with Him. I gave some good deeds today. I gave a little money into good deeds, and I'm doing. I pray, and I'm doing good. I get along. What will happen with the others? Yeah. If I lose the connection with Him, this is how it happens to me in my feeling, more and more. Then I become more and more dependent on them and must connect to them and through them to the Creator. Because we are all in a state of danger. And then the general states of danger come from nature, from the financial system, from any single thing that can be, and also from religion. The regular religion, not the true religion that he's writing about. And then a person starts to see himself truly as kind of hanging, but not that he himself is hanging upon the dependency with the Creator, but through the collective. And therefore, through these states that we have today, this state progresses us towards correction. Maybe I shortened it a little bit. We need to add a few more sentences in the middle. But I'm telling you that here is, let's say, the foundation for what's going on today.
But we haven't closed the circle yet, because our preliminary point was that Baal HaSulam says here,
your point is simple. How could it be that he's telling me that this is good and I'm feeling that it's bad? What is he, laughing in my face?
Right.
Right. About the fact of what I feel in my vessels, I cannot agree. Because it's a complete lie.
Meaning, if I accept this as truth, it's no longer different than religion.
Right, and we'll talk about that. But I cannot accept it because I'm accepting as a fact what occurs in my kelim. One cannot judge other than what his eyes see. So we need, if so, with the grace of the Lord tomorrow, just read and see what he means here and how he's inviting you to an argument, to a on purpose, to like an opposition to him. Yes? With us today were the Netanya, Jerusalem, the young group, Petah Tikva group, 24 friends working in the new building. Netanya and Jerusalem, congratulations. Convention?
Yeah, we have a convention in Bulgaria in the weekend, and we also have an open evening where we invite everyone to a free intro lecture in Kabbalah. And Yeah, so the Kabbalah introductory lecture in Ramat Negev, it's happening today, 8:15 p.m. Israel time, of course. It's free entrance if you're around, want details, call 1-700-509-209. And we have the...
In the Bulgaria Convention?
The Bulgaria Convention is this weekend, Friday,
Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah, so all of us will celebrate together. And 2 days before that, there's also integral education courses Wednesday and Thursday. So let's be together with that convention and prepare
and we'll
for it.
Sing.
את ליבי נותן למחשבה לסדוק עוד סדק בתוכי ולכל סדק שנפתח נכנסת אהבה היא ממלאת את החלל אני מחויב לי דאגה היא ממלאת את החלל אני מחויב לי דאגה עמוק עמוק בפנים אני מרגיש את הקבוצה מתוך שמעון הלב כולם יוצאים להקפה וכך זה מתגלה לי טיפה אחר טיפה שאהבת החברים היא התרופה היחידה אהבת החברים היא התרופה היחידה לילה לילה שמסתתר ממני ואין עוד שום דבר ממך שלא מורגש אצלי בתפילת רבים כולנו יחד בשמחה ובחיבור הניזוצות נדליק את הלהבה ובחיבור הניזוצות נדליק את הלהבה עמוק עמוק בפנים אני מרגיש את הקבוצה מתוך שברון הלב כולם יוצאים להקפה וכך זה מתגלה